Lesson number two in the student book. If you have the book, which is the Bible, all right, we're going to go to Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter 5 in your Bible. We're picking it up where we left off last week. Last week we started lesson number 2 in our series, Striving Together. And lesson number 2 is dealing with striving in the home, not fighting in the home. In case you missed it there. Not strife in the home. But striving in the home, okay? And boy, I've really enjoyed looking at these lessons, and whether they be on this particular subject or others, the theme of striving together, we mentioned that this morning, striving together in prayer, and that's why we want to take every opportunity we can to pray together with one another. Yes, we can have our prayer closet. And that can be our closet if you want it to be, or it could be your car when you're driving down the road. Keep your eyes open, please. But you can be praying when you're driving down the road. I do it all the time. There's a lot better things to do than listen to the radio, right? And not much on the radio is of any value. There's some good things on there. I guess Carry Radio has some good programs on there. But, you can listen to a good CD, but sometimes just turn everything off, right? And just talk to God. And take that 15-minute drive to work or that 20-minute drive to work and just pray. And riding on the bus, pray, whatever. So anyway, striving in the home. Last week, Ephesians chapter 5, we'll be there in just a moment. Last week, we talked about point number 1, and that was we must seek his what? If you got your book, seek his what?
Power.
Yeah, seek his power. There's no way we're going to have a godly home. And by the way, it doesn't have to be, you know, a home is not just somebody that's married and has kids and all of that. A home might be you. That's a home. And it doesn't matter if it's 1 or, 15. We want to have a godly home. And as Virgiana said, we got to seek God's power. There's no way, humanly speaking, that you can have, and I can have a godly home that strives together in my own strength. It's going to fail. I can just tell you right now, from personal experience, yes, the pastor sometimes tries to have a home without the power of God. It doesn't work that way. We need to have the power of God. Amen. Addie says amen to that. Okay. Letter A, remember? See if you can help me here. There's 4 results of his power. 4 results of his power. Letter A, we will have a what kind of life?
Sanctified
life. That's right. Sanctified life. Letter A, that means a life that is set apart. A life that is becoming more like Jesus every day. Just think about that for a minute. Is my life... You ask yourself, is my life becoming more like Jesus all the time? It should be. And you know why it should be? Because the Holy Spirit is inside of us. It's not because we sit down and say, I'm going to be like Jesus. I'm going to be like Jesus. Say it 10 times really fast. I'm going to be like Jesus. You'll be like Jesus. No, it's because you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. And if we will let the Holy Spirit fill us, which means control us, that's what it says. Look at your Bibles if you have them open there, Ephesians 5:18. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. If we'll let the Holy Spirit fill us, what does that mean to be filled with the Spirit? Same thing that alcohol does to someone when they're drunk. What does alcohol do to someone when they're drunk? It controls them. They're out of control from their own self. They have no idea what they're saying. They have no idea what they're doing. They won't even remember it a lot of times. Okay, I'm not making fun. I'm just saying the Bible uses an illustration. That's how we're to live our life in the sense that I'm not telling me what to do. I'm letting the Holy Spirit lead me. And that's how I can have a sanctified life. Then letter B, if we have the power of God in our home, we will have a what? Singing heart. Singing heart. We saw that in verse number 19. Verse number 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Oh, we could talk about that for the rest of the night, but we won't, because then we won't finish at number 2. And so, a singing heart. Then letter C. In verse 20, it says we learn that we will have a what kind of spirit?
Satisfied
spirit. Very good. Satisfied spirit. Verse 20 says, giving thanks always. That's a key word, isn't it? Always. Satisfied spirit. And then lastly, we ended with letter D, or number 4. What was the 4th thing? We will have a
submissive
disposition. Very good. Very good. A submissive disposition. And we learned about that in verse number 21, which says, Ephesians 5:21, which says, submitting yourselves to one another. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And that's where we left off last week. Excuse me, looking at point number 1. Okay, now we're going to begin at verse 22 tonight with big number 2. Big number 2, if you have the book there. I have a couple extra books still at the church if you would like to still get one of those. We're only on lesson 2, so we're going to be in this for a little while. So let me know, text me, and let me know. I have 2 of those available for purchase. They're $5 each. I can get that to you for next week. Number 2, we must understand his pattern. Pattern. We need his power to be a striving family. But then number 2, we must understand God's pattern. What is God's pattern? Now, you can search all over today to find how a home is to be. You can look on talk shows. You could look up and look at authors. What is a home supposed to look like? You could try to find the entertainment world and see. I don't think these are very wide. I'm just saying these are places we could go. But I think we understand at Anchor Baptist Church that our pattern is not to go to the world to find a home, or how a home is supposed to be. Our pattern is not to go to the world for anything, quite frankly. Our pattern is always supposed to be from the Word of God. Okay? So let's look at verse number 22. Verse number 22. Isn't it amazing, though? Let me just quickly give you this, that we began this with be filled with the Spirit, Ephesians 5:18, and now we're going into this about all these responsibilities within a home. But first and foremost, filled with the Spirit. So don't lose sight of the order that God gives us here in his word. Verse 18, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. So we understand his pattern. Let's look into this a little bit closer together. Look at letter A. Letter A. God has a pattern for husbands and wives. Letter A. God has a pattern for husbands and wives. And what happens is this. When we follow God's pattern, you say, well, you don't understand my wife. Well, you don't have to be the wife. You're the husband. It's not your responsibility to be the wife. It's your responsibility to be the husband. And vice versa. Okay? And so, if followed, these produce a tremendous level of togetherness. The other word I love for this is unity. Unity. Oh, it's what we need in the church. It's what we need in our homes. It's what we need even in the business world. The work, wherever you work. If you work with anybody, you know this to be true. You need people that are thinking and working the same way. If you have an idea, and this person has an idea, and this person has an idea, but not there's not one person that's trying to put them all together, you know, that's going to be like spaghetti, right? It's going to be all over the place. We just need some unity here. I like spaghetti, but way better than durian, of course. But we got to have some unity here. And that's what happens in the home. God, if we follow this, then there will be unity. Now, I will tell you, though, that God's arrangement, God's pattern, runs counter to culture. And I'm not talking about culture as in, you know, Korean or Filipino or whatever. I'm talking about the culture in which we live, the world in which we live. It runs contrary to the way that God's word teaches us to have a home that is striving together. And so let's remember that. This quote from Dr. Adrian Rogers, he's with the Lord now. I love this quote. Listen to it, please. The husband and wife are equals before God. But equality of worth is not sameness of function. Did you catch that? We are equal before God as husband and wife. But it does not mean we have the same function. God created, this is all part of the quote, God created male and female different at the very beginning. And we all know that to be true, right? God created men, but today we have to really emphasize this. Don't lose, be thankful for how God made you. God made you as a man, be thankful for that. If God made you to be a woman, God, be thankful for that. There is no third option. No matter what culture says, there's men and there's women, okay? In 2021, we have to reiterate that a few times. Not for you, but for others maybe, okay? God created men as masculine creatures, this is part of his quote, and females as feminine creatures. Brother Rogers says, we are to celebrate the difference. Isn't that something? Celebrate the difference. Not discriminate against it. Be thankful for it. By the way, I'm thankful for the difference between me and my wife. And we complement each other. We complete. She's my completer. She's my soulmate, if you will. But we don't think alike. We vary all the time on different things. But that's okay. Then he says, a woman is superior to a man at being a woman. And a man is superior to a woman at being a man. That's kind of obvious, isn't it? But sometimes we need to be reminded of that. I don't have to be. I have to be, this is what I have to be, what God created me to be. God created me to be a man. God created me to be someone who loves his wife, who takes care of her, who stands for truth, and God created us all for a specific purpose. So let's talk to the husbands first. Let's talk to the husbands first, okay? Because that's where the responsibility begins. Husbands, I don't think this is a blank to fill in, but you probably have it in your notes. Husbands are to demonstrate sacrificial love. Sacrificial love. Let's read that verse again, verse 25. Maybe all of you tonight, let's all of us men tonight, you don't have to be married, someday you might be, but let's read that as men tonight, okay? Or maybe all of us are married, I don't know. Look at Ephesians 5:25. Ready, guys? Men, let's read it together. Ready? Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. You see that? Gave himself. That is sacrificial love. Think about it. All of us here tonight, we are on our way to heaven if we're saved because of the sacrificial love of our God. We are on our way to heaven tonight if you're saved, on your way to heaven, if you're joining us online and you've trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, there is a sacrificial love that only God has the ability to love in that way. But God says here to me, I'm supposed to love my wife in a sacrificial way. That is a responsibility that I need to hold very highly. In fact, it is not an option. That's right. This is not husbands love your wives even as Christ also loved the church if she's always nice to you. Is that in your Bible? I'd like to write that in there sometime. No, I'm just kidding. She is always nice to me. You know, no, that, and that's what, but see, that's what the, that's how the world thinks. If you're nice to me, I'll be nice to you. Hey, we've all been unkind to people. This isn't just about husband and wife tonight. Oh, we're talking about family. But we've all been unkind to people, or people have been unkind to us. And what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to be kind anyway. That's not always easy to do, is it? It could be very challenging. But I didn't write the Bible. God did. What did Jesus do for the church? He gave his very life. So the kind of leadership the husband is to provide in the home is to be sacrificial and servant leadership. Okay? Wives. Next up. So, husbands, sacrificial love. Wives are to demonstrate submissive love. Submissive love. Okay? We won't make you ladies read out loud. But look at verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. This is God's pattern. This is not Anchor Baptist Church pattern. This is God's pattern. A submissive love. God's prescription that the husband is the head does not imply superiority. But it expresses a distinction in the roles. Okay? Not role as in, you know, a dinner role. Okay? Okay? And some of you haven't had dinner yet. I haven't had dinner yet. So we're thinking role, we're thinking food here. No, it means in the responsibility that each one holds. There's a distinction in roles. We've talked about that. It does mean, however, that God has placed each husband in a sacred position. You say, my husband is in a sacred position? Yes. According to God's word. And you know what that means, ladies? It means that a wife is instructed to follow his leadership as she would follow Christ. Here's how. Based on the worthiness of Christ, not the husband. Oh, that hurts, guys. I'm going to love my, but it's the same way. As I said, as a husband, I'm going to love my wife no matter what. As unto the Lord. And a wife, I want to encourage you as ladies, those of you that are married, you're to submit to your husband, not even if he's worthy of it or not. And I'm not trying to be unkind, guys, to none of you. I'm just saying. It's not as unto even the husband. It's you're submitting because it's as unto the Lord. This is the pattern of the Lord. This illustration is given in the notes. In marriage, each member fills a unique role, much like the 11 players on a football team. Only one member of that team may call the plays. Do any of you ladies know what the guys call that call the plays on the football team? The one guy who throws the ball? For 10 points, what is his name? Do any of you men know the guy who throws the ball? Not a specific name. What's the position called?
Yeah, the position.
QB, quarterback.
Quarterback.
Yeah, quarterback. When they get into the huddle, there's 11 guys in the huddle. I'll tell you what does not happen. This is what doesn't happen. All 11 guys start saying what they want to do. That does not happen. It would not work at all. You only have 30 seconds between plays to get in the huddle, get out of the huddle, line up, and run the play. I'll tell you what happens. The quarterback says, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to run 27-13 tonight. Right now. Today. Right now. 27-13. Ready? Break. Let's go. And they know what 27-13 means. Or they call it whatever. We're going to run Omaha. We're going to run Omaha. We're going to run this. We're going to run. And there's names. And they have one guy leading the way and following the instructions. This is not because the quarterback is more important than any of the other players. This is not because the quarterback has more experience than any of the other players. Here's why it's like this. Because the coach said this is the way it's going to work. The quarterback is going to call the plays. And so, as we think about the pattern of husbands and wives. Okay, next. Letter B. God has a pattern for parents and children. God has a pattern for parents and children. Verse number one. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Possibly that's the second verse I ever memorized in my childhood. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Say it again, Ben. Children, obey your parents. It's still there, right here. 48 years of age is right there. Maybe John 3:16 was the first one. Close runner-up to Ephesians 6:1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So, God has a pattern for parents and children. How do we find the pattern for being the godly parent that we should be? There's a lot of resources you can find, but don't go away from the Word of God. Stay with the Word of God. First statement is this: parents are to train and nurture. Parents are to train and nurture. Look at verse 4. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. This is not the responsibility of a teacher. This is not the responsibility of a coach. I love teachers and I love coaches. This is not the responsibility of a neighbor. This is not the responsibility of the youth pastor. This is not the responsibility of the pastor. No, this is the responsibility of the parents. We should not relinquish that responsibility to anyone else. It is my duty. I'm saying this tonight as a father. It is my duty to teach the truths of the Word of God to my children and for the training of the children in godly character. That's my responsibility. That's my duty. Was that not plugged in?
Yes, it's those turn off and the battery's low.
Battery's going down? There you go. Thank you, Brother Kim. Good. Okay. Great save there. So, the word nurture. Let's think about this. Look at a couple of these words. The word nurture. Here's what it means. Train and educate. It means to discipline. It means to instruct. It means to teach. This is part of the problem in our society today, that we just send our kids to everybody else and say, you teach my kids. And I'm not saying this to anybody. I'm just saying this is the society. This is how we live. We just send our kids to the school and let the school do everything. Now, there's a good reason for education. I'm not saying don't go to school. Okay, that's not the point. The point that God is saying here is that I'm supposed to nurture my children. This is not the primary responsibility of my son or my daughter's teacher. It's my responsibility. Yes, I need help. I'm not a teacher, okay? There is no way I could have taught them algebra 1, 2, geometry, calculus, or whatever else. I don't even know all the subjects they took. You know, for me, I could have gone to addition, subtraction, multiplication, division, past that, that's it. I love math, but to teach it, I'm not qualified for that. So I'm not saying, let's have everybody stop going to school and you have to teach all your kids everything they need to know. That's not what I'm saying. That's not what God is saying. But it's my responsibility to oversee that. It's my responsibility to make sure that I know what they're learning. What about the word admonish? Look at the word admonish. The word admonish means to call attention to. You know what that means? That means, hey, don't say that. Don't talk that way to your mom. Don't talk that way to your dad. Call attention to. I remember my home, and I'm thankful for the discipline I received in my home. There were certain things that my dad and my mom, you know, we weren't allowed to do. And if we broke the rule, there was consequences. That's part of discipline. That's part of training. And we call attention to that. Why do we do that to a child? Because a child is very moldable and a child is very simple. And that's a good thing. Because eventually that child is going to be an adult. And eventually that child is going to be deciding for the same things on his own or her own. And we don't want them to decide just when mommy and daddy are around. We want them to be able to choose godly things when no one else is there. We want them to be able to say no to sin when there's no one there to say, no, don't do that. But in the back of their mind, they can hear their dad or they can hear their mom saying, you know what, we don't want to drink that. We don't want to smoke that. We don't want to do this. And why? Because there's a biblical principle behind it. And we show them in the Bible, this is why we don't do this. That's part of nurturing. That's part of admonishing. That's part of what the Bible says I'm to do. I'm to nurture. I'm to admonish. I'm to train. I'm to nurture. Turn over with me, if you will, to Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23. By the way, this nurturing, this admonishing, can I just help you with this? I need to be helped with this. It must come from a foundation of love. Love. I want, most importantly, my kids to know I love them. And there's nothing they can do to lose my love for them. Nothing. They're my son. Or he's my son. I have one. They're my daughters. I have two. That means that if they dropped out of church and wanted nothing to do with God, I would be very sad. In fact, I would be hurt. But I pray I would never stop loving them. And I pray that they would know that. That I would never stop loving them. It's not saying I don't want them to be in church. It's saying I want my kids first and foremost not to look at me as a general. I'm not a general. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not a drill instructor. I want them to look at me as their father. That yes has to say, every once in a while has to say, hey, whoa, we're not going to do that here. We only have one left, so, you know, at the house. But I'm just saying, make sure everything is done from a foundation of love. And sometimes love hurts. Do we not know that? Love hurts. And we don't want to discipline a child, but to not discipline a child is really to do them great harm. That's right. Later on down the road. Look what it says in Proverbs 23:26. Thank you for listening. And I pray that God's word is helping us tonight to have this pattern, as husbands, wives, pattern as parents, as a child. Look what it says in verse 26. My son. Maybe underline these four words. Give me thine heart. That's what we talked about yesterday at the ordination service, was the heart. And the heart is really where everything comes out of. And that's what we need to have of our children, is we want to have their heart. We don't want them to simply be following our instructions like a drill sergeant. We want them to be following our instructions as someone who really does love them. They've given us their heart. Parents are to train and nurture. Next thing, children are to honor and obey. Children are to honor and obey. This is the pattern for parents and children. So, we have a couple of children in the room tonight, which is perfectly fine. I'm glad for that. But for the most part, your children aren't in the room tonight. So, there's an opportunity here, especially if you have young children in the home still. This is something that you teach your children, not because you say so. This is something that we teach our children because this is what God says. This isn't what Daddy says. This isn't what, why do I always have to do what you want me to do? Why do I always have to do what you say? Okay, let's bring it back. Let's sit down. Let's take a deep breath. It's okay to ask why, by the way. Jesus asked why. Why hast thou forsaken me? Let's sit down. Let's just calm down and let's think about this. Let's pull out the Bible. Let's just see what God's word says. The reason we do what we do in this home is because, now, that's gonna hold a lot of weight if I'm being the husband that I'm supposed to be according to the Bible as well. But if I'm not being the husband I'm supposed to be according to the Bible, it's not going to hold as much weight if I try to pull the Bible out and say, okay, you have to obey as a child, and I'm not even being showing their mother that I love their mother. So I'm a leader. I need to lead and be obedient as a husband before I say, okay, kids, now you're going to fall in line with the Bible. No, I want to show them that first and foremost. As a wife, I want to show them that. You want to show them that first and foremost. But here's verses 1 through 3. I won't read them all. I read them just a few moments ago. What does obey mean? Obey describes behavior. Behavior. I remember hearing this as a teenager. Obey describes behavior. Honor describes the spirit. The spirit in which the behavior is carried out. The example I remember hearing over and over again, and I may have even been guilty of this as a child in the home. Then it's time for you to take out the trash. Oh, man, it's always my turn. Why is it never John's turn? And I go and I take out the trash. Did I obey? Yes or no? Did I take out the trash? Yes, I did. Did I honor?
No.
There's nothing honoring about kicking and screaming and, oh, why do I always have to do this? And, you know, under my breath, you know, oh, come on. And sorry, you two kids, you have to hear this tonight. All kids do this. I did it. I was guilty of it. You know what? It's not honoring. It's not honoring. And we want to help our children understand that. I think if you get that kind of response, let's just stop. Let's back it up. Let's talk this through a little bit. Here's the reason. Why do we do this? Because, you know, someday when they're 35 years old, something's going to come across their path. Some command of God or it might even be at work. I remember being asked things to do at work. And, you know, maybe I didn't want to do it. I worked at McDonald's for a while. How many of you ever worked at McDonald's? One, two, three of us. Yeah, McDonald's. I remember working there, and I remember, one of my jobs was cleaning the floors at the end of the night. Oh, my goodness. Cleaning the floors at McDonald's, there is nothing glamorous about that. Let me tell you. But what? That's what I had to do. I could have just, you know, said, come on, why not so-and-so? Why not another person do that? And I'm sure I always didn't have the right attitude, okay? I'm not trying to paint myself up as someone who always had the right attitude. But I do remember being taught, you know what? Honor authority. Honor authority. It's not just that in the home when you have them until they're 18 or whatever age you have them to. It's that someday, by the way, we always have somebody telling us what to do. Until we're in heaven, we're going to have people telling us what to do. Even if you're the boss, there's going to be people telling you what to do. So what do we want to do? We don't just want to do it with a bad attitude. We don't want to do it with a bad spirit. We want to do it with a honoring spirit. The special command carries the promise of God's favor on those who seek to have a right relationship with their parents. You know what it goes back to? It goes back to Exodus chapter 20, verse number 12. And if you have the student book, it's probably typed out. It says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. So, point number two, that's as far as we're going to get tonight, is seeking his pattern. And you know, this may or may not apply to everyone here tonight, some of us joining online possibly. But you know what you can do? Whatever part of this applies to you and your part of your wherever you're at in life, pray that God would protect the homes of this church. Pray that God would protect the hearts of the children. We have a great responsibility we've got babies. You know, of course, Addie's not really not a baby anymore. I'm still a baby. Let's not grow him up too fast, right, Dad? You know, he's 9 months old already. I can't believe it. What happened? 9 months old already. Then we got the 2-year-olds and the 3-year-olds, and then we got all the kids, you know, all the way up to grade 12. Our own daughter's in grade 12 this year. I can't believe the nest is going to be, I don't even want to talk about it. Wow. Too fast. And I heard that my whole life, and I believed it, but I didn't really believe it, that it goes quick. So, hey, no regret. I mean, I have regrets for sure. I wish we could have done a lot of different things. I wish I would have been a better dad and a better husband. I still got time to work on that. Holy Spirit can still help me to be a better husband and a better father. Join me in that. Whatever role you have, join me in that. We would strive together, following not the world's path, following God's.